My name is Dan. Welcome to the Passive Income Doctor podcast.
Just a reminder, this podcast is for entertainment purposes. Nothing here is financial advice. Please speak to your trusted professional advisors. Views expressed by podcast participants are solely their own.
Today, we will be talking about market cycles and how you can utilize it for your own investing. Now, markets move in phases. They don't always go up in a straight linear line, nor do they decrease in a continuous linear line either. There's a common saying about how, you know, it's all about time in the market and not timing the market. Now, I do believe a long-term horizon for investing is important. However, from my reading and numerous sources, I also believe that timing entry into a market is also important. If you buy a share or a property at the peak, you may be waiting a long time to see a return on your money. You may even lose money if you're forced to sell at a low point. Also, it may be psychologically demoralizing if you don't see an early win in your investing. So of course, we want to invest for the long term, but if after you bought it and for the next few months or years, it's just reducing in value, costing you money to hold a property, for example, then it may make you want to question, you know, investing altogether. And if you don't then invest, then over the long term, you've got less assets building up and accumulating. So talking about the market cycle, Investopedia, they talk about four phases. Number one, accumulation. Number two, markup phase. Number three, distribution phase. Number four, markdown phase. So number one, accumulation phase or the trough. So this is when a market cycle is at the bottom, where the majority of people, or say the herd, they're not interested and they want to just adopt like a wait and see approach. At this point, early adopters or smart money often moves in and purchasing when things are essentially on sale. You know, for example, if you go to a shop and see something marked down 30% off, you know, you would probably think it's a good deal and buy it, assuming it's quality. However, often when it comes to investing, when a share price has had a big fall or a property market has had a big fall or long stagnation, people are hesitant to enter. So in this phase, asset prices are low. Governments often intervene to try and stop markets continually falling. For example, during the GFC, global financial crisis, the government did a lot of fiscal stimulus. There was also monetary policy working in concert as well with reducing interest rates, trying to stimulate demand in a weak environment. Number two is the markup phase, or also known as the expansion phase. So now the market's been kind of grumbling on for a while, kind of stable, maybe starting to increase. The economy may be recovering from the bottom. Employment may start to improve. And also demand in the economy may improve, which may be reflected in the GDP numbers. Asset prices start to rise. Low interest rates kind of give business the confidence to expand, further driving economic growth. More people become optimistic and see it as a sign to jump into the market. So number three is distribution phase or the peak. Now, this is a dangerous phase for investors and very hard not to get caught up in the exuberance. Often prices are rising. There's some FOMO, fear of missing out. Things might be said such as, you know, business cycle is over, you know, a politician might announce that they've fixed the economy forever and, you know, there's no more downturns, no more recessions. And also some people might say this time is different because of dot, dot, dot. For example, you know, there might be new technology, examples 2001.com bubble, so the rise of the internet. And yeah, towards the kind of frenetic And there was people just not looking at business profits, you know, not looking at cash flows. Anything with a .com at the end of the name, investors just piled in, buying up those shares, kind of speculation running rampant. So interesting question would be in today in the future, whether there's any parallels with, say, certain cryptocurrencies or AI, artificial intelligence. So often this kind of peak phase is quite short. Selling volume increases, you know, kind of eventually there's more sellers than buyers. Astute investors will note there's too much kind of hype and overly optimistic valuations and they get out at this phase. But a lot of people don't. So that brings us to number four, which is the markdown phase or contraction. So this is kind of like the downturn and it's quite painful for those holding on to, say, a particular share that might drop, say, you know, 90%. You know, I remember, I think it was a gold mining share that dropped, 90%, and it was quite painful. Other assets which may drop in value include property, bond, cryptocurrency, hard metals, anything really. In this phase, GDP growth may decline. There may be a recession. Unemployment may increase. Asset prices are falling. There's less liquidity. There's less confidence in the money markets. People are less likely to, and corporations are less likely to want to lend to each other. Central banks may try to, stimulate the economy. Governments may try to do stimulus as well. And, you know, whether it's effective or not, you know, may vary and it may or may not be enough. Business and consumer confidence at this phase is quite low. So we've talked about these four phases and how long would this cycle run for? Now, you know, for example, if you're day trading, this could last hours to days. But then for something like real estate, you know, kind of 10 plus years. So what are some other kind of cycles or market cycles to consider? So some people follow a four-year presidential election cycle theory. And that's topical in the time of recording 2024. Obviously, this is talking about the US mainly in the US markets, but Australian markets often do follow the US markets. So in this theory, it suggests that markets do well in the second half of a four-year presidential term, you know, where the president tries to boost the economy in an effort to get re-elected. Interest rates are generally lower in the year of an election and also increase spending, you know, so the election year tends to be a positive one for the share market. So more close to home, you know, talking about Australian residential property, which I follow closely, you know, there's sub-markets, you know, there's no just one Australian property market. For example, Sydney might go through a lull or, you know, reasonably flat phase, for example, 2003 to about 2011. But during that same period, Brisbane and Perth did exceptionally well. For example, 2003, 2007, you know, almost doubling. Then 2013 to 2017, Sydney experienced very high rates of growth, whilst during that same period, Brisbane, Perth stagnated. So you can see, you know, it's not like all property prices rise and fall at the same time. Although with COVID, that was a little bit of an anomaly when there was huge amounts of stimulus injected. Another factor for you to consider is the ripple effect. You know, major capital cities might increase in price first, and then as they become a little bit more unaffordable or people start seeing value further out. For example, major towns close to major capital cities. For example, Newcastle, Wollongong may follow price growth in Sydney, but delayed for example, say 6 months. 6 to 12 months. So what are some resources that you can use? So Some people use the Heron Todd White Report, which you can check it out just by Googling it. It's a monthly report which includes a property clock as well, kind of showing if some a particular town is at the top, the bottom, or whether it's a declining market, whether it's a rising market. Now, do take it with a grain of salt, as there's been times when, you know, they caught it inaccurately. And I guess that's to be expected. Like, no one is perfect. But yeah, I've noted, for example, there might be some a particular month where it says this city is in a rising market, but then the next month or 2 months after, it might go backwards, the clock going backwards, you know, to say, for example, now it's bottom of the market. But it is a kind of interesting resource to look at and consider when you're doing your own research. So you might have heard over the long-term residential property or Australian equities, you know, the share market does, you know, 7.9% a year per annum. But in reality, it's not a straight line. You know, the market doesn't actually go up 7.9% every year. It's kind of like an average. There might be an extremely strong year, plus 15%, and then next year, you know, like a negative 5%. So I think utilizing markets or being aware of them will make you a better investor. So some takeaway points today. Number one would be aware, you know, where in the business cycle or the asset cycle you are in. You know, if you're not monitoring or paying close attention, you may get caught out. And number two I'll end with is, you know, nothing goes up or goes down forever. Although assuming, you know, the company, for example, a share doesn't go to zero, eventually, usually they will kind of improve and revert to the mean. So I hope you found today's episode useful. You know, time in the market is definitely important, but I think you should also consider timing the market as well. Thanks for listening to today's show. Please take a moment now to hit the subscribe button and share the podcast, because this will help others benefit also. So until next time, keep taking steps to improve your financial health.